Press the streaming button.
So that not only went live, but also in the recording. Thank you.
Nice.
Hello, and welcome to Hidden Abyss. This is a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign setting. My name is Crash, I will be your DM for the evening, and I am almost certainly not a mimic, so far as anyone knows. Tonight, I am joined by a bunch of fantastic people, including but not limited to, we've got Ellie, we've got Jen, we've got Millie, we've got Cindy, we have Matt, and everyone else is either on vacation or sick. Or both, because, you know, con crud is a thing, but never mind about that. So, what happened last week?
I got hand.
Yeah, severed hands invaded a garden, and then this somehow charismatic yet creepy guy appeared.
And he tried to trick us and have us go to an abandoned base because he wanted to trap us. At least that's what I assumed was going to go down. And then we said, no, screw that. And we started to go the other way. And I tried to teach the hands, the severed hands, how to pet the gnolls, and it didn't go well. So there was a quick little fight, but I saved 3 of the hands. And their names are Carl, Carl Jr., and Hardee's.
I approve.
And before anyone that says anything, Bryn said I was allowed to keep them.
Technically, the caveat is so long as they don't cause any trouble, which...
No more than I would cause without them.
This makes sense.
Yeah. That does raise the, or lower the bar significantly.
I want to disagree, but...
Yeah.
And so before we left town, I taught them how to ride on my magic broomstick that I now have. And then I failed my roll to fight my magical octopus castanets.
So basically, anyone tuning in to this session as their first experience of the Hidden Abyss campaign is going to be more confused about what's happening after listening to that than if they just come in cold.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And then we started traveling, I think.
We could also mention how a bunch of hands formed Hand Voltron.
Oh, God. Unko would like to forget that part of it. Yeah, wow.
I did the most damage while trying to be a sullen teenager. I threw a rock with a nat 20.
I think that was, yeah, that happened. That did
happen. I was trying to have a pity party underneath a tree and accidentally threw a rock with a nat 20. So
technically speaking, Eric still did more damage.
Like one damage more, but he was trying.
There might have been a smite involved, but yes.
My familiar is currently a spider. I hid it from Bryn's mom because Bryn's mom is scary. We played hide and seek with all of the hands that we could find after the body exploded. And there's still one hand I think we left in Bryn's room that's reading all of her trashy romance novels.
Well, that's right. Fahim did accidentally slap one into the second floor that no one bothered to check up on.
Right.
And no one had found that by the time you all left to go towards Sandstone.
So right. I'm assuming trashy romance novels.
Well,
that I confirmed were there. I saw them.
Well, they were teenage romance novels, so...
Yeah, because I remember Bryn's mom was concerned about even teenage romance novels, so... Yes.
But I think Bryn said that she'd grown out of those. But never mind about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they were called Dawn, Midday, and, you know, Early Evening.
Thanks, I hate it.
I came up with that right then. I hope you like it.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks,
I think Crash has already
I
said
hate it.
He hates it.
Yeah.
I know that honestly means he loves it. He also said he hated that my hand's name, so you know what?
Well, considering I named one of them.
Yes.
So he's complicit in this.
Yeah, you decided immediately that your favorite one was going to be named Carl.
Yeah, and then you said Carl Jr., and I had to finish the trifecta because there was 3.
Yes. Yes, so technically I named 1.5, because once you have one named Carl Jr., there's only one direction you can go in. If it was just a Carl, then you could give it a hat.
Yeah, then I could have like Mo and Larry or something.
But no matter. You did head out at the end of the last episode, and tonight's episode is actually called Mighty Good Leader, because I'm still naming them all after songs from the same album, but never mind about that.
Now we're about to have fun.
Yes, well, fun in a manner of speaking. Because Bryn has the folk hero background, and this is her home turf, she is widely known throughout the countryside. So you don't have to pay for an inn. You basically stop off at a farm. This farm is owned by a family known as the Kuipers. And, you know, going with the continuing names of things from the solar system theme, but whatever. Yes.
I have a question.
I have an answer. Let's see if they match.
Is Bryn still a folk hero if she didn't actually kill the villain?
Well, she stopped him for a while.
Okay. That's been in my head since this whole thing. I was like, wait a second.
And it's not widely known that he's back.
True. I mean, if the Belmonts can become famous for only temporarily stopping Dracula, why not Bryn?
And having one of them end up becoming Dracula.
True.
Spoilers.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Well, in any case, you are given a place to stay for the night, although the group is large enough that you have to be comfortable with sleeping in the barn.
That's fine.
And
roost in the rafters.
There we go. And one of the sons offers to give you a ride to the edge of the forest. So that's going to cut your travel time down considerably. Because there's only so many random encounters you can have walking past farms and fields. But whatever. The DM would get bored. So that night, as you are all taking your long rest. So if you haven't pressed that button, go ahead and do that.
Yeah, let me do that.
Let me just double check that I will.
Well, at the end of the last session, I did ask for Paige to make a charisma save.
And she
missed it by one. So, Paige, you have the very strong sensation that you are flying. Swimming. It's similar, but the viscosity
feel
is
good.
Much more
feel
like
good.
Water. Okay.
Feel good.
And there's something very large in front of you.
What is it?
There's something very large behind you.
I don't like that.
There's something very large in front of you.
Okay. What is it?
It's, you don't have the words to judge the scale of this thing.
Ha! Sorry.
And then suddenly an eye, a single yellow eye, opens up in front of you.
Is it Lulu or is it Cthulhu?
Well, Lulu would be quite small.
Well, I didn't know. Maybe I'm dreaming about how big Lulu will be one day.
If you were a flea, a harmless little flea that had been put in a box, that was then put in another box, and then mailed to somebody.
Okay, Yzma.
The scale of this eye would still be much larger than Lulu would be to that flea.
I have
it just
dreams.
Goes off in every direction. You are in the dead center of it.
Cool, okay.
And speech is the wrong word to use. You are hit with thoughts. You are hit with words, but it's more of a visceral thing. Just like how your species, Kenku, don't really have a language anymore that was taken from you.
Mm-hmm.
What's being put in your head right now is the level of thoughts that you have where you can't really use words.
Mm-hmm.
So it's familiar and alien at the same time.
Okay.
Ask.
Who? Can I speak? Like, is my thoughts being heard by whatever this is?
You can. So for this, I would say...
Since it's in my head?
Well, you don't have a language. So phrase the emotions, like what you would want to do.
Okay. What do I sense from this giant critter?
Give me an insight check.
Okay.
Well, with a 7, the main sensation you have is kind of like what you might be thinking if you held up one of your fingers and saw an ant walking across it. That ant has no comprehension of the being that it's walking across at that point. It doesn't have the slightest inkling of understanding. I retroactively claim any puns. Even if they were not intended, the pun was intended.
Yes, always intended.
Pun intended, if you will.
I I just kind of, you know, I'm just thinking confusion as to what's going on, who is this, you know, what the gosh dang.
Speech. Are you going to make it so I can talk?
Flight. Ass.
Ooh, this is tough.
Kind of like being quiet because I can smart mouth people. But flying is really...
I love how Paige doesn't comprehend that if she was given the ability to speak, she could still keep her mouth shut. It's quite possible that she would not be able to.
That would be the most alien thought possible to Paige.
Probably.
Yeah. How long can I keep with a facade that I can't, that I can actually speak? I kind of like being a diabolical idiot.
Smart money would be on about 5 minutes after you gain the ability to speak. Your cheeks would start bulging out as you tried to hold it in, and they just blurt out a full sentence.
Oh, gosh. Because I like not being... I kind of am enjoying not being able to...
Well, thinking about the character, you technically already have the ability to fly.
I do. Because
you have that broom that you got from Plantain.
Yes. Yeah, I do want the ability to speak.
You are shown a vision. The eye blinks, and when it opens again, you don't really see the eye. You see this massive city that is, your assumption is it's sandstone, because the bricks that were used to build the largest of structures all seem to be made out of sandstone. It is up against the shore. There's these massive docks. There's all kinds of boats, an armada of boats, actually. There is one tower that is floating above the city off to the side. It is clearly not part of the palace or whatever collection of buildings form the central government of the city. It's over to the side in a different district, but it is floating above everything else. So at the same time, it makes them all look not as good because, I mean, who wouldn't want a flying tower? I mean, maybe a moving castle, but never mind about that. Thank you. I'm here all week. Yes.
Howling in the distance.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hate. Destroy.
I have to destroy sandstone in order to speak. Okay.
As soon as you think about accepting this deal, you wake up coughing up seawater.
That was me coughing up seawater.
I will leave it to the rest of the party as to whether or not you are woken up by the fact that the small burb that you've been escorting is now coughing up seawater while one of the undead animated hands is trying very hard to pat her on the back.
I'm like with one hand.
No, it's just patting you on the back.
Yeah.
Which is not the way you do the Heimlich. It actually can make things worse. But never mind about that.
He's trying. I give Carl points for trying.
Give me a constitution save.
A save, you said?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
So patting you on the back has actually forced the seawater deeper into your lungs. You are effectively drowning in the loft of this barn. What's your constitution bonus?
-2.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Yep. You are dying. I leave it to the rest of the party to tell me what you're doing while you're hearing the death rattle of a small bird in the barn.
I'm trying to decide if I can cast Destroy Water from inside her lungs and not kill her by doing so.
Well, give me an insight check. You may not realize that she's drowning. You just know that she's coughing.
That's possible. Yeah. Okay. Wait, that hit something.
I've
rolled a one. Insight is a +3. That's not going to help much.
Didn't wake up on the first cough, but I think I wake up eventually. Do I get to make an insight check as well?
You can totally make an insight check, yes.
Use your wisdom that you don't share. Save me, friend.
I got a 16.
With a 16, it sounds like there's something in her lungs.
Okay, between my slippers of spider climbing, I'm going to try to rush up there, and I don't know if my monk knows the Heimlich, but she's going to do her best to approximate.
She can karate chop somewhere.
That would be a medicine check.
15.
Okay. You are, it's not really a Heimlich, but close enough. You do squeeze a surprising amount of water out of Paige's lungs. Paige, you are now able to breathe.
Thanks. That lasted a minute.
Did she actually speak thanks or?
No.
Dang it.
Oh, okay.
It's a quid pro quo.
Oh.
Destroy things first.
So I'm gonna yell up to Fahim. So is she okay? What happened up there? I'm gonna try climbing the ladder as I go.
I don't know how, but she was choking on water, but I think she'll be okay now.
How? Okay.
I don't know how.
Huh.
I just know that's what was happening.
This is Bryn asking, did she fall asleep with a water skin in her mouth or something? Or were the hands trying to drown her?
Mm-mm. I pull out my octopus castanet and I make the Cthulhu arms, or like the Kraken arms.
I don't understand. I don't get
it. Did a wild octopus sneak in and try to drown you?
In land?
The deadly tree octopus.
Fahim probably doesn't know anything about Cthulhu, so
right,
calling out an octopus and trying to blame it, that's the first conclusion she would come to.
Did her?
It couldn't have been a tree octopus. Those are in the Northwest.
But octopus is currently a spider.
Right, so I'm, well, she seems okay now, I think.
I keep squawking about octopus arms.
Onka doesn't see the octopus anymore, so she's confused. I'm like shrugging, like I don't know what you're telling me.
I try to do the sleeping motion and then like swimming motions.
You had a dream about swimming and started drowning in your sleep, and that became real.
Ding ding ding.
Despite the affirmation, Fahim is now even more confused.
Is her clothing wet? Did she actually go sleepwalk swimming or something?
Well, she.
I check her clothing.
She coughed up a considerable amount of water, so the front of her clothing is wet, but the back of her clothing is dry.
Huh.
No, she didn't go sleep swimming.
I have never seen anything like this. I don't know.
Swimming, I can't even sleep fly.
Okay, well, I'm going back to bed. We've got a really long day tomorrow.
All right, well, if everyone's all right, okay, then yeah, that's probably a good plan.
I climb down from the rafters and lay closer to other people. Just in case.
By the way, Sanctimonious and Eric slept through this.
Okay.
They are the equivalent of a two-man saw right now. They're both snoring. When Sanctimonious breathes in, Eric is breathing out. So it's more of just a continuous snore.
Where are they located in the barn? Or I think
did I
in a barn.
Spit on them?
They are on like, opposite ends because even though they are in sync, they weren't going to bunk down anywhere near each other.
Okay, so casting silence is not going to solve this one, unfortunately.
If you cast it twice,
I could knock out one. I could. How long does it take?
And isn't that a concentration spell?
Oh, it is. Yeah, I'd have to concentrate on
it. You have to stay up.
Oh no. All right, well, I've lived with orcs that snore louder. I can handle this.
I have a question.
Okay.
Not for, like, for Crash. Is there a, do we have a map out anywhere?
Not really.
Okay. How far away are we from Sandstone?
You're going to make it to the edge of, now I gotta look up the name of Bryn's town. Because EO sent me notes, and now it's just like Plantain all over again, where I've got to make sure everything is canon. I can't just wing it. So, yeah, because I try to be nice about that. So, Briarden is Bryn's hometown, and you're going to be making it to the edge of Briarden before lunch tomorrow, because you're basically getting a lift from someone who has a cart.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you're going to, at that point, get to an area of forest that borders between the Briarden farms and the Sandstone farms.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be in Sandstone territory, you'll get there before late afternoon, probably. Mm-hmm. It depends on how long you spend in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gotcha. Understandably, Paige takes some time to fall asleep and chooses to brainstorm how to blow up palaces.
Okay. Is Ulfgar awake from all the snoring?
Oh, he's probably causing some noise. Of it.
Causing some of it? Okay.
He's the third party. It's a triangle.
Oh, no. There's three. Okay.
Before dawn, one of the boards that just makes up the wall of the barn just inexplicably falls off.
From snoring?
From the rattling.
Oh, well.
You've hit the resonant frequency of the barn.
Oh, no.
Good.
All right. Well, then Unka's just going to like wrap up in her blanket and get some sleep.
Okay. Dawn breaks. Peter is able to cast mending. He's very proud of himself. It's not the equivalent of hitting a snooze button, though, so you still all have to get up. And one of the Kuiper's sons, who happens to be a young man named Ort, I blame Ellie for that one, has you all get in his cart, and he sets off and takes you towards the edge of the territory.
Paige is uncharacteristically determined about continuing forward. I'm actually focused.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm just waiting for Paige's ADD to kick in and make her lose that focus. Like, all right, we're ready to go. Give me a charisma save.
Me?
Yes.
What save?
Charisma.
Give it to who?
A save, you said?
A save.
Okay. I just want to make sure I was typing the right numbers. Got 24.
Okay. Yes. Paige is unusually focused.
Okay.
At some point, more than one character has to look over to just make sure that Paige is still there.
Still in the cart.
Because she's quiet.
Because nothing chaotic has occurred in that time. Of events, some bickering between Sanctimonious and Eric, which I will leave up to your imagination what they argue about. But any point that they could argue, if one of them points out the shade of blue that the sky is, another one will argue that it's a different slight shade. Close, but not quite the same.
Paige even sometimes like either ignores them or actually like smacks them when they're too annoying to continue focusing.
Which I will allow anyone who cares to make an insight check about that.
Okay.
You'll get
I've rolled a 17, and insight is plus 3.
Okay. And I got an 11.
I got a 19.
And so Mazir and Onka are very much aware that, yes, there's a going back and forth between Eric and Sanctimonious, but it's almost as if they're enjoying this.
Oh, is it flirting?
Oh, no. All right, I'll just...
You're going to need a higher insight check to know that. And also have a conversation with Eric, the player of Eric, because I'm not going to NPC a character into a romantic situation.
Right,
I think at least Sanctimonious is into it. Okay.
Well, what was your roll?
I didn't roll. I just decided that.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me see. Well, it was insight, you said?
Yes.
19.
Okay, so, yeah, you are aware that they seem to be enjoying this bickering. Sanctimonious is actually in incredibly high spirits because you're going home.
Oh, right. To blow up his home. He is.
Okay, so while this is all going on, I'm going to talk to Ulfgar and be like, Ulfgar, I still have your weapon. Let me dig through this bag of holding and see. That's not it. That's the Book of Doom. That's, I don't know what the, there it is. Here you go. Here's your hammer back.
Imagine if you will, a scene from Mary Poppins.
Yes. Pulls up this giant hammer and hands it over.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Anka.
I was given it by the one fish person that could speak common and understand.
Well, I'm trying not to join in.
And, he had a lot of things to tell us about, and do you mind if I ask you a question, Ulfgar?
Of course not.
Now,
please go ahead.
It is a question I've learned that some humans, especially female humans, are offended by, but I don't know how dwarves feel about this question. Ulfgar, how old are you?
That is an excellent question. The player has to look up what I wrote.
Oh, sorry.
So old, he does not remember.
Yes. I am past a century, of middle age, I guess, of an adult age for dwarves. I have studied arcana for probably 30 or 40 years. We tend to come of age around the age of 40 and then go off on whatever adventures. I've spent many years as a soldier in an army. My parents were innkeepers, but I had joined a dwarven unit many years ago. And unfortunately, during my journey as a soldier, my magical training awoke, as it were, and the leaders decided I should go off to Nalith Academy to learn the proper magics and get properly trained so that I could assist my unit with whatever might occur. While I was studying magic, my entire unit was destroyed, wiped out. Again, not quite sure by what. Some sort of aberrant creature is all people, the few witnesses that remain, could really say. But again, it was an unspeakable horror, as best I could gather from what few tales remained of my old military unit. I was reported dead, and of course, that caused some consternation for my parents. But I had returned home and allayed their fears. And then at that point, I had begun my journey and met up with several of you upon the ship to Adrilanka. I had planned to return to Nalith, and we had done that, and we saw what happened there.
Right.
I have been around for some time, but again, I spent many years of my earlier youth between the age of 40 to 60 within a dwarven army.
Okay, so have you, before Plantain, have you ever encountered fish people before that time, by any chance?
I assure you that in the small mining village that I come from, it is the sole topic of conversation. No. Not.
Okay.
In case the sarcasm was lost.
Right. No, I got that. The reason I ask these questions that sound so strange is one of the fish person that could speak to us told us this very detailed, I guess, history of his people, and brought us back to land through an area that had all these carvings and scary looking things and all of this. And the carvings included a dwarf that looked a lot like you.
Oh.
Oddly enough.
I cannot explain that.
They seem to know you. They think you're some sort of hero, I think.
Oh,
And they mentioned something about how it was great that you gave them back that figurine that you, like, you know, batted into the waters before
the one I attempted to smash.
They thought that was like a blessing of some sort or a good omen. It's really unclear. And I just couldn't
there.
Quite figure. Yes. Yes.
If my intent was not clear, I intended to destroy that statue.
Well, they did not understand that message at all.
Well, clearly, but alien minds sometimes can misinterpret things.
I guess so, but it was the whole story he was telling us was quite disturbing, and something about old gods, and I don't understand all of it, but they definitely think you're connected, so I just had to know, how old were you, and was that actually you in their carvings?
I do not believe so. As I said, I am about 100 years old, and while I spent, like as I said, dwarves come of age around the age of 40. Until that time, they stay with their parents. My parents were innkeepers, but they were in the town they were in was very transient, much like a trade caravan routes and such. So I heard many tales from travelers, traders, adventurers. But I had chosen, like others of my race, to join a military unit. And unfortunately, when the powers that be learned I was offspring of fabled innkeepers and knew much about the ways of cooking and preparing foods, they stuck me in the kitchen, or at least the mess.
Yes. That makes sense. Yes.
So while I traveled rather extensively for the next, as I said, 20 or 30 years, I was not in many skirmishes, simply more of a support role. I was often placed in the rear, as it were, compared to where all of the action was. So if, again, if they're aware of me, I am unaware of how they are aware of me.
Well, I think Paige drew some pictures, possibly, of the carvings, I think. Oh, okay. I think that's what she was doing. I wasn't really paying full attention.
Our bird friend, is that?
Yes.
May I see them? She can understand us, right?
Right, yes. She doesn't speak, but she seems to understand. Can you show Ulfgar those drawings that you made of those carvings?
I quickly flip so no one sees my explosion plans. And I show the Murloc drawings with extra circles around the Kraken that I really liked.
I love how Paige dedicated to paper her plans to destroy a city. Just in case anyone wants to go through and read her diary. And by the way, August 24th, time to blow up a city.
How do I best use what I have at my disposal? And how do I get Fahim to go along with it?
Can I get Fahim to punch the flying tower so that it falls on the rest of the city?
Can I make a bomb and make Fahim throw it?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
I mean, if you lit the fuse on the bomb and handed it to Fahim, she'd probably throw it, but probably not in the right direction.
Thing is that you usually go with whatever I ask you to do, so...
So, Ulfgar will take a look at the pictures. He is of no necessarily great judgment of art, but I doubt they mean much to him unless I should make a roll of some kind.
It looks a lot like you.
Okay. I cannot explain it. However, I am supposedly, I have an ancestor who, a grandfather. Dwarves do tend to live a couple of hundred years. And in fact, my grandfather is the one who is responsible for my essentially magic traits, if you will, my penchant for wizardry. So it's possible. Basically, I could look like him, I suppose.
Well, that would explain some of this. I guess.
I mean, I've never seen him. I've never met him.
Right. Do you know what happened to him?
I do not. My parents, my father, often does not speak of him. Wizardry is not well respected among dwarves. They find it useful, but it is also somewhat looked down upon. As, oh, well, you're going to be doing the magic while the rest of us are going to be doing the fighting.
Okay.
It is often looked as not necessarily bad, but it ain't good. And so my father, while not military himself, he did retire. He took up the career as an innkeeper, which is respected among my people. But wizardry is even somewhat lower than that. Because again, if you're not fighting, you're not really helping.
Oh, that's too bad. What an outlook.
It is typical of the people of my culture. And I've grown up with it all of my life. And my grandfather the same. So I assume because my father and my mother do not talk about him very much.
Mm. So maybe the sculptures were of your grandfather then.
That is my theory at this point. As I said, because he is old. Dwarves live a very long time, a good easily 300 to 400 years. So it's very possible that it could be him.
Well, that explains a bit more.
Yeah, I think we should work with that as our working theory until we can prove otherwise.
Yeah,
that does make sense, and it would make sense why maybe they thought you were him if you're so similar looking. I don't know if the fish people are aware of how long dwarves live.
Yeah. All dwarves could look alike to them. We don't know.
Oh, that's a good point.
They don't want to be that Murloc.
But maybe because you actually batted that figure back into the water, they're assuming there's a connection between you
Could
and
be.
The carving. I don't know. Well, thanks for answering those questions that I know must have sounded very strange.
Well, given the evidence at hand that you saw with these sculptures, it's not unreasonable to ask.
I take my journal diary back.
Okay. Ulfgar doesn't flip pages, only looking at what was shown to him. So he's not nosy.
I would have cut in if you tried doing anything else.
Can I have a book to color in too?
What?
That was Peter.
Oh,
we'll have to find you one.
And then I can write spells in it too.
I suppose.
He casts Firebolt. It goes straight up.
It goes where?
Straight up.
It goes where?
He points it straight up. He's not going to set a field on fire.
Oh, okay.
Instead, he's just going to set us on fire when it lands back down.
Well, no, we're moving, aren't we? We're in a cart.
It, for once, yes? Of a better word, because there isn't a better word, it peters out.
I have to, unfortunately, I have to run to go get my son from work. Okay. He couldn't get another ride, so I will be back in about, hopefully, 45 minutes.
Okay. Well, at this point, let's actually take a break. You're getting right up to the edge of the forest. So this is where you're going to be asked to get out of the cart.
Dang.
So let's take a 5-minute break and we will be back shortly. Okay, we're back, and we did not spend that entire time posting animated GIFs of birds in Discord.
No, not at all.
I'm just sharing Paige's feelings.
I thought Paige was supposed to distract us from things like feelings.
These are Paige's emotional states.
Those are feelings.
Paige distracts us from deep feelings with the shallow feelings of ducks wearing diver's flippers.
Yeah.
Also focusing.
Yes, and lots of focusing.
Okay.
Okay, we're going into the woods.
Into the woods?
And out of the woods and home before dark.
And there is our copyright strike for the evening because they don't play with Broadway. Although there is a fantastic parody of the song Into the Woods called Into the Words. It's on an album called Forbidden Broadway and it is glorious.
Good to know.
Yes. The same album has a parody of one of the Cat songs and Mr. Mistopheles gets shot, but never mind about that. Okay, so you are at the edge of the forest. This particular forest is called Briar's Down, and Ort has really no interest in staying anywhere near the edge of the forest, so he asked you to leave. By the way, I didn't mention this before the break, but when you were all riding the cart, all of the gnolls were sticking their heads over the side.
Good.
Cute.
Four on one side, four on the other.
I was laying on the belly of one of them while focusing.
That's amazing because they weren't upside down, so laying on their bellies was skillful.
You know
but
what
never
I mean? I was laying
that.
Like against their side.
Oh, okay.
Using them as like a pillow rest.
That works. All right. So you all hop out or slide out or kicked out or roll out or it's up to you how you exit the cart, but you all exit the cart.
I went with determination.
Autobots, get out of the cart and roll out.
I'm still focused.
I get tired of waiting in line, so I just use my slippers of spider climbing to walk down the side.
For the briefest of moments, you resemble the Goblin King as played by David Bowie.
Hoodoo? Voodoo.
Do what?
Got the power.
Okay,
the cart
so
wasn't that
cart.
Large. You could have just jumped over the side, but I appreciate that you decided to use your boots anyway.
Fahim just does that. She likes just being able to walk on sideways surfaces from time to time.
I remember being told that the reason to have a pocket watch is to pull it out of your pocket every 5 minutes and bang it against a table to let everyone know that you have a pocket watch.
Yep. That's true.
Accurate.
And if you have boots of spider climbing, you got to climb something.
Mm-hmm. Which reminds me, I pull out my, my, you know, broom.
Which it just occurs to you now that if you'd been on the broom, you probably could have been going faster than the cart.
Yeah, yeah. And now I'm mad, but I'm still focused.
I imagine at some point, Paige is just focusing on the word focus.
Like the word focus is like, a focus. Only remember one thing.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, I'm not really focusing if I'm just thinking of the word focus. Focus, 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 focus. Focus on what?
Focus.
Focus? Hocus?
Focus? Hocus? Pocus?
This is a PG stream. Nobody quote Blazing Saddles.
But yes, I'm focusing and I am heading forward.
Okay. Well, focus. The road does go right on through the woods. It does not, in fact, go over a river. And you have no idea where your grandmother's house is.
Is the way clear?
The way appears to mostly be clear, yes.
Okay.
I mean, every now and then there's a small branch in the road, but that's not a problem for someone on a broom.
Yeah.
You could sweep it out of the way, but it's literally beneath you. And quite possibly, I don't want to play your character, but quite possibly metaphorically beneath you as well.
Pretty much.
That poor cat.
Oh, it's not in distress. It's just focusing on something.
There's a bug or something.
That is definite focus. That that is Paige in cat form.
The only time I've seen cats focus like that is if they're looking at a mouse or a bird or something. They're like, I could eat that if I could catch it.
Yeah, that's how my cat looks at the tree frogs on our window.
When my cat sees something like that outside my window, he chirps.
Interesting.
Yeah, it almost sounds like a squirrel when he chirps. It's really weird.
Yeah, one of my cats used to do that. My cat now just talks all the time.
All right. Well, no matter. You are traveling.
I am no nonsense.
Okay. So I'm assuming the rest of the party follows the small bird that is marching with focus through the woods.
She seems to know where she's going.
I mean, yeah, I'm traveling with the group. I'm mostly looking for interesting fights, but these guys have provided me with interesting fights, so I'm going with them.
You missed your opportunity to use a hand as a ranged weapon. But, well, as luck would have it...
You now have some.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that's true, because you did smack a hand through a second-story window.
Maybe we can teach Fahim how to hand jive.
The DM is oddly okay with this, while at the same time regretting some life choices. But no matter. So you are going through the woods, and you find a very large log that is alongside the road.
Hmm.
Is it large enough that other people who don't have my slippers would have trouble getting over it?
No, you can walk right past it. It's alongside the road. It looks like someone recently pushed it off the road.
Oh, cool.
That's convenient.
But not the people who are hanging out right over top of the log, though. Those people are definitely not pushing anything right now.
Oh, are there people like...
Oh, no. Men?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still focused on the road.
I give them a friendly wave.
What happened to these people?
Well, they're all currently hanging from tree branches.
Oh.
There's about 9 or 10 of them. 11. There's actually 11 of them. One of them was behind one of the others.
Oh.
Okay, this is bad.
Each one of them has the word bandit written across the front of their shirt.
Oh.
I see that everyone else has stopped, and I start to get like, ugh.
Classic Paige.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if their shirts are accurate, then this is nothing to lose sleep over.
Maybe for you.
What race do they look like? I know there's like hobbits outside the woods area.
There are no hobbits, only halflings.
Oh, sorry. Yes, yep, halflings.
We don't want to be sued by the Tolkien state.
Sorry. Halflings.
So apparently, back in the days of first edition, they made a lot of rule books and stuff for other mythoses and things before they actually had the rights to use them. And it was kind of an E.T. video game type situation.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah.
Okay. So I look up. What do I see? What race are the people?
What's left of them? Your best guess is they're humans. There might be a half-orc or two, but some of them don't appear to have been killed by hanging. It just so happens that they were hung afterwards.
Well, this is a macabre little display.
Yeah, but if they really were bandits, then, I mean, they got what was coming for them. So the only question is, how accurate is the labels on their shirt.
There's no way to know.
One of them looks up and says, well, I do believe in truth in advertising.
Do they all have their hands?
Now that you mention it, no.
Carl found his home! But also, Burb doesn't fully care. Like, she kind of puts that in, like, the back of her head, but is still like, come on!
By the way, Bryn is going into another Bryn rant that, imagine if you will, the rant from last week, sort of copy-pasted with slight adjustments over again, because the voice that you've heard say, I do believe in truth in advertising, is very, very obviously Seelan.
Oh, wow. That was a real voice. I thought that was you joking.
Well, a little bit of column A, a little bit from column B.
Do my hands want to return to their owners?
They don't.
There's an out of context D&D. Wow.
They don't seem inclined to leave the safety of your broom.
Good. I don't want to have to find more.
Well, you're not going to find many around here.
Awesome. Okay, I have slight interest in the dead bodies now, but I'm still like focused because like Cthulhu.
Okay, well, one of them doesn't look like a dead body anymore at all. It looks like Seelan. But it's a little awkward because that particular body is still hanging from a tree.
I still don't care, personally.
Is it hanging? Are they hanging from a tree, or are the roots, are the ropes draped over a tree branch and anchored somewhere else?
The top end of the rope is tied to a tree branch for each of them.
And one of them is talking to us? Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, one of them is patiently waiting for Bryn to run out of steam.
Oh.
The
necromancer who has called Bryn his favorite apprentice.
Right.
Is currently possessing one of the corpses.
Okay.
Yes.
So this is your doing, Seelan?
Well, I figured it would be for the greater good to eliminate bandits in the area. And there were bandits in the area. So I made things safer for everyone and left a little warning in case anyone else wanted to fill the power vacuum.
Admirable.
Why, thank you. I thought so myself.
Those spines aren't going to hold forever.
Oh, well, I may have augmented them just a tiny little bit.
There's always more bandits.
That's true. They do tend to be common.
Well, hopefully less common after this. Although, he looks around. Huh. I could have sworn there were 15 of them here. This is a little awkward.
Well, we'll be on the lookout.
Did their bodies die?
How bad of a necromancer are you that you lose track of the corpses you raise?
When we destroy the hands, do their bodies die?
Technically, the bodies are already dead.
You knew what I meant.
How is he... Never mind.
Well, you're right. Paige can't talk. The DM keeps forgetting that Paige can't talk. The DM really wants Paige to be able to destroy Sandstone so that Paige can talk and my NPCs can actually answer Paige when she asks questions like this.
Are these good questions? Is that why?
I didn't say they were good questions. Just like not everyone makes good decisions with their characters in Dungeons & Dragons. But the DM is here for all of this content.
Wait, there are people who make good decisions with their characters?
Who are those?
I didn't say it's common. I do recall on Monday, someone said something about investigating this seems like a bad idea, so it's probably a good idea.
I thought that was how you're supposed to play D&D.
Look, there were 15 bandits in this particular area, and this Seelan body, which still doesn't have any hands at the end of its arms. So it's really disconcerting to see him waving with his arms. And the body sort of starts to do a slight spin from the action of waving an arm in a direction. Yeah. Like, oh, this is getting annoying. Wait, I'm swinging back. Okay, now I'm in front.
Sir,
nope,
I'm swinging pointing.
The other way. I'm
Sir?
Swinging the other way again. Could someone steady me a little
pointing.
Bit?
I'm going to use Mage Hand to grab onto his foot and keep him in place.
Good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I didn't really think it through possessing an animated corpse that was currently hanging as a warning to bandits. Well, in any case, you might have noticed that there is this trail over here, and he motions over to what appears to be a defoliated area that runs at almost a 90-degree angle to the road that you're on.
Hmm.
That wasn't here before either.
Does it get a sandstone?
Sadly, he does not hear Paige ask that question. And if you look, there's four ropes hanging from that branch right over top of that trail.
So you think four bandits, possibly undead, made that trail?
I think whatever made that trail might have also gotten rid of the bodies.
Ugh, Paige is really intrigued about dead bodies, but also really, really doesn't want to mess this up.
Paige, if we don't handle this, it could sneak up behind us and kill us. And then we wouldn't be able to destroy sandstone at all.
You don't know that I want to destroy sandstone.
And then we wouldn't be able to do whatever you want to do so badly at all.
Yeah, I'm not going to require an insight check to see if anyone realizes that Paige has an interest in doing something. That's like wondering if Lassie wants to tell you something about Timmy falling down a well. It's obvious.
Oh.
So we can deal with this now and delay slightly, or we can not deal with this now and delay until someone finds a very large diamond and a cleric.
I don't see the problem.
Clerics can raise the dead with diamonds.
Yep.
No, Anka, I don't see the problem.
I don't know that Anka has that, though. Maybe.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Fahim feels it's worth her efforts to track down who might come up behind her. So she's just like, yeah, it's worth going down that trail.
Look, personally, I'm just happy that Bryn did decide to come see me in Sandstone. I would rather you not delay towards that, but I will not complain if you wish to seek out what happened to those four bodies that I hung up in the tree.
I take that word sandstone and I repeat it 50 times.
Because whatever can take out four animated zombies is probably a bit worse than the bandits that were making this road dangerous.
Sandstone!
Okay, so we're considering finding zombies?
Sandstone!
Or whatever, the zombies.
Okay.
At this point, they're probably ex-zombies. I can't possess them.
We will get
to sandstone. Pets, but also keep squawking about sandstone.
We will get to sandstone. We just need to perform some murders first.
I look really sadly towards sandstone, like the path that goes that way. And then I look over and I think about murder and I'm like...
Don't think of it as murder. Think of it as making the area safe for commerce.
Murder!
And also, innocent travelers.
If we kill whatever is threatening this road, you get to dissect it.
Murder!
Well, looks like that's decided.
You have to know how to talk to people.
I've never been good at that.
Well, Mazir is royalty.
True.
Murder!
And there's a 20 charisma.
Yeah.
You have to know these things when you're a baroness, you know.
Yes.
Also, how sheep bladders can be used to prevent earthquakes.
Also that.
Yes.
That's an important thing to know.
And do any of my hands wave at their... sorry.
You go.
Do any of my hands wave at their old owner?
One of them attempts to and falls off the broom.
I pick it back up and put it back on.
It holds a bit tighter.
All right, we'll handle your missing display, and then we'll go to Sandstone.
Ugh, murder, murder. Murder.
I must say, I do like the enthusiasm of your young avian friend there. Maybe they need a little redirection, though. Just a tad bit. I mean, I'm a necromancer, and I think they're a bit over the top.
Hey, she can't speak common. She can only repeat, she's perfect.
Yeah, follow your bliss. Okay. Give me a survival check.
All of us?
Anyone who wants to figure out which way whatever it was that made the trail went.
Okay.
I will help whoever's making the check.
So roll at advantage.
It looks like at least two people are rolling. Do we all need to roll, or is this one for kind of thing?
You're tracking, so...
Okay. So...
I got a 16.
They went that away.
Was it survival? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then I got 9 on the dice and survival's plus 6.
Okay.
Even with advantage, I only got a 7, but
oh, I didn't roll.
I'm probably following whoever.
Yeah, I didn't roll twice. Should I have rolled twice?
Well, could have, but a 16 is above the threshold, so...
Okay.
Eager to get on with the murder and then going to Sandstone, where more murder will be committed, but you don't know that. Paige immediately figures out that whatever was causing this destruction went in that direction, not that direction.
I actually am really good at nature, so yeah.
Imagine, if you will, a bloodhound, but it's a small bird.
Yes.
Which, Kenku are actually medium size, so they're really the same size as humans, but I just like this idea of Paige being more halfling sized.
Like a halfling. Yeah.
Okay. So you head off through the woods. Nothing bad could possibly happen from this.
No, never.
All right. It is a total swath of destruction. There are tree branches that have been ripped off below a certain height. The ferns are gone, even out of the gullies. And unless there's like a huge outcropping of rock or something, it mostly just is going in a straight line.
I'm actually grinning. Paige is so excited.
Okay. And as you continue down the trail, you start to hear noise.
How tall are the trees here?
It's an old growth forest, so while every now and then you find a sapling that's a bit smaller, most of the trees are 30, 40 feet high.
Okay. Can I hide and see what's ahead around the river bend?
Well, just around the river bend is a blue corn moon. You have no idea what the heck that is, because no one knows what a blue corn moon is.
There's a grinning bobcat in the corner. Get out.
Okay. There actually is not a river bend, but in any case, you do hear like tree branches snapping and undergrowth being moved about. And
I fly up to a tree branch.
And perhaps what sounds like munching.
Yeah, I'm flying up to a tree branch to sit and look from above.
Okay. You see a big pile of basically garbage.
Don't talk about me like that.
And then a vine whips out of this big pile of garbage, grabs hold of a small sapling, and pulls it into itself.
Oh.
There's more munching.
We have some foresting happening. Is it doing anything else, or is it just kind of just taking trees within arm's length, or is it, like, moving?
It's moving. It is moving forward slowly. One could argue that it is shambling.
Oh, no.
Do I know what it is?
Give me a nature check.
Okay.
Player knows what it is in my case. Character does not.
I'm going to re-roll, because this is a really bad roll, and I've been holding inspiration for a while.
That is a nat 1.
Wow.
Come on, double nat 1s.
Hold okay. About
10. Well, with an 11, your best guess is it might be a bear that tried burrowing underneath a pile of stuff and somehow made a whip out of a vine so it could eat trees.
But bears don't eat trees.
Yeah.
With an
I didn't say it was a good guess. Functionally an 11, but you... You're at a loss. That's the closest story you can come up with for what this thing is. And as you come up with it, you're like, no, that can't be right.
That's not right.
But, well, there's a lot of this that's not right.
Yeah.
Can we see any of this from where we're at, or is she only able to see it because she's in a tree?
She flew, I'm assuming, forward and up into a tree to get a closer look.
Yes.
Okay.
I go back down and I try to charades a giant hulking tree eater.
Peter's like, okay, two words, first word, 2 syllables. Sounds like, rhymes with bling. Bling. So it's someone with a lot of bling. It's a jewel crafter.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Oh, no.
One word, 1 syllable, 2 words, 1 syllable, first word. Sounds like...
It's bees. It's an army of dire bees.
No, sounds
it's part
like
part bear, part bee.
I do the ear pull, and then
it's a bee the size of a bear.
Sure.
I'm gonna send Raum up.
Is it one bear-sized bee or 100 bee-sized bears.
Oh, God.
Because that second option would be very, very cute.
Second word, two syllable. Om, nom, 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 nom.
Are you hungry?
I shrug, so, but not important.
I have sent my raven up to do some scouting.
Okay, you definitely see the same thing that Paige saw.
Ah, actually, I'm going to make a nature check, too. How's a 16 do?
A 16? So this is not common at all. But every now and then, bad things happen. The common theory is that it involves lightning somehow. People don't tend to be right there when it occurs. Well, not people who live to tell the tale anyway. Lightning strikes, you try to avoid them. But every now and then, a big chunk of nature comes alive and then just starts eating more stuff. They're colloquially referred to as shambling mounds.
Oh.
There is a sister creature called the Shambling Almond Joy.
So, it's a living, very hungry hedge. Sanctimonious, you're up.
All right, then. Oh, give
yes, we're
me a
actually giving
here.
You permission to set the forest on fire.
You know, I love setting things on fire as much as the next pyromaniac. But I do feel I need to point out, it's been going through a lot of undergrowth. It is probably very full of water. I don't think I'm going to be doing a lot of damage to it.
Weak!
Well, that's fair.
Aim at the creature that's eating the forest, I suppose? You know this better than me. I don't mess with fire.
And it's eating a lot of live wood and ferns and flowers and stuff. They have a lot of moisture in them.
Can I blow it up?
It's probably resistant to fire damage.
I look at everyone and I point towards the direction of the thing. And I go, murder?
Go for it, Paige.
I will punch
and
it.
And I step off into the undergrowth and try to disguise myself while I take aim with my crossbow.
I fly back up to my tree branch.
Do you make like a tree and leaf when you disguise yourself?
Ba-dum-dum. If it were me, I'd just be yelling, I'm not here, I'm hiding. I'd be doing deception. but yeah, I fly up to the tree and I prepare to cast some magic, if that's all right.
I dare say whenever you're ready.
Okay. Shatter!
Okay.
And crossbow.
No one is within 10 feet, right?
I'm certainly not.
No, I don't think any of us were.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that we're far enough away still. So I'm going to blow it up.
Now that's a saving throw on my part, right?
Let me see. Yeah, I'm going to have to make a constitution saving throw, which is 15. And then I do 5d8s of thunder damage. Or if you do make it, half as much.
Go ahead and roll your 5d8.
Let me see. Do I add anything, or do I just do it as it says? Just do it as it says. Okay. I wanted to make sure, because like the spell attack or spell modifier or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do those?
Well, not for this.
Okay.
I will tell you that I rolled a number that's low enough that whatever your spell save is, I went below it.
I did 25 explosion damage.
Okay. So for the briefest of moments, it looks like you fractured the thing.
Okay.
It stops and shifts. And where before the front of it was facing away from you, it looks like its back end became its front end.
Ew, it's a worm.
So my initiative is 15.
What's this?
I said my initiative is 15.
Oh, you rolled initiative already? Okay.
Well,
you probably should do that then.
I was going to ask you to roll initiative, so yeah.
Okay, I have rolled a 13, and my initiative is minus 1, so I have a 12.
I...
That's not right.
Paige goes 3 days ago with an initiative roll of 122. That's not even a roll. You just typed 120 plus 2.
14. I forgot the D.
Does Spider Ronus? Fahim only got a 9.
Oh.
Okay. Anybody else?
Did you get mine?
I've got Mazir, Paige, Onka, and Fahim.
Okay.
I should probably roll for the shambling map.
Ulfgar's got a 19.
I'm going to casually ignore the people who aren't here and say that you're fighting just a shambling mound that's tougher.
Okay.
Well, you I figured roll for
Matt
Peter.
Might get back.
Yeah.
Okay, what's Peter doing?
He's probably going to attempt
probably
to
gonna
use
cast fireball.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That whole probably only takes half damage from fire things.
Yeah.
He's thinking challenge accepted.
Okay.
He doesn't understand how that works.
He'll learn.
Well, there's plenty of times when I tell a student, if you do X, Y will happen and you will regret it. And then they go and do X.
What do you mean?
And they get upset that Y happens. And so for some reason, they often blame me.
Obviously.
It is my fault, clearly. Yes. Okay, so the Shambling Mound runs forward and does not... Actually, Paige, you went and flew up into a tree?
Yeah.
Okay. It attacks the tree.
Well, that's rude. It's a big tree.
It is a big Shambling Mound.
Yeah, but it's not like a sapling. I made sure it was like a...
All right, so that's a hit. The phrase timber comes to mind. Give me a dexterity save.
Oh, no.
Oh, can I just jump on my broom? I'm still with it.
Give me a dexterity save to see if you can get on your broom before gravity takes hold.
I made sure to type the D this time.
With a dexterity roll of 128.
19.
Okay, so yes, the tree falls down. The tree falls down, and you are now hovering in the air.
Perfect.
And I'm going to make 3 dexterity saves.
Oh, people are going to get smushed by a tree.
No, it's that's not why I'm making 3 dexterity saves.
It's yelling timber.
Oh, no.
You bad.
So your broom is slightly lighter. You've lost some ballast.
My hands!
In slow motion, you see Carl Jr. and Hardee's falling, reaching
up
for the broom.
You did this on purpose!
Falling down, and they sort of plunk into the Shambling Mound and disappear in its mass.
No!
Meanwhile, Carl is holding on for dear life.
I very quickly tuck Carl into my robe.
It's not your turn, though.
No, I'm Carl!
Okay, and that was its first attack.
Uh-oh.
It runs forward to do a second attack. Let's see who it attacks. Peter.
Oh, no.
I got a bad feeling. Oh, that's a nat 20.
Oh, no.
How many hit points does Peter have?
I do not know.
Not that
infinite.
Many.
That sounds about accurate.
Oh, no.
There are some NPCs that pretty much have infinite hit points, and you're not going to kill them because they are well beyond you. Lord Idris is a level 20 wizard. You're not going to touch him.
Right.
Peter is...
He's secretly a Tarrasque.
Well, I will allow you to have inspiration for that comment, but he's CR 1/4.
Oh, no.
And if that wasn't a nat 20, he'd still be making death saves on his turn. The good news is you need to have 2 slam attacks hit you in order to be engulfed.
Bad news.
Well, the bad news is Peter got knocked down.
But does he get up again?
No, he is under the drinking age.
You're never going to keep me down.
He does not, in fact, drink the cider drink. You know what? I've decided this Shambling Mound is called Chumbawamba. So,
perfect.
Mazir, you're up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I am going to leap. How far is it from me?
How close were you to Peter?
I was off to the side of the path.
Okay. I would say that you're within 15 feet.
Okay. I'm going to leap at it and attack with my Hex short sword.
Okie dokie.
And cast Booming Blade.
Okay.
Will 13 hit?
Physically, yes, but you don't feel like it's done any damage.
Huh.
It's kind of like if you've ever seen someone using an axe for the first time trying to cut down a tree, and they hit the tree, technically, but it doesn't cause any damage because they held the axe wrong.
Is this a situation where if I rolled better, I could get a better hit?
Yeah, your feeling is you just hit it at the wrong angle.
Okay, I'm going to use my inspiration then.
Yeah, that's a hit.
Okay. All right. So that's 28 damage.
Now, what damage type is that? Because you said you're using Booming Blade?
Yes, Booming Blade is I gotta look it up.
I want to say thunder damage.
I think you're right. Yes, thunder damage.
Okay. Noted.
And it takes 2d8 thunder damage if it moves before my next turn.
Well, currently it has a Peter to devour, and you seem to have volunteered to be its next meal. So, you know.
Oh, and I'm going to take the disengage action to get back away from it.
Okay, so the small child is going to be its next meal, a worthy distraction. At this point, Paige, would you like to avenge the two undead animated hands that were your best friends in the whole wide world?
Oh.
Don't tell Fahim.
Yeah, is there anyone right next to it besides Peter?
Probably me, because usually Anka's not too far away from here.
Yeah.
True, and how far away is Peter from the evil monster?
Currently right underneath one of its approximates of a
leg. Oh, it's actually like right there.
Okay. Yes.
Let me see.
You see 2 feet sticking out.
Let's see. I'm gonna cast Eldritch Blast. So I'm safe where I am. Up in the air. Also, the first thing I do is I put Carl into my robe because I don't want him to fall. Okay?
Okay. I will allow that as a free action. So, Eldritch Blast, I believe you're the one who has to roll?
Yeah. And I get 2 beams of damage.
Okie dokie.
So, I rolled the two. So, I'm going to roll the 2d20s and then see if they hit.
Sure.
Just making sure I'm doing this right. Haven't had much combat since I joined in.
Well, in episode 0, I stated that anytime you screw up the rules, it's just a house rule. So,
yes,
a 16 will hit, and an 18 will hit. Go ahead and roll that damage.
Okay.
And what kind of damage is this particular spell?
It is force.
Force damage.
Yes.
Okay. The force is with you. Roll your damage.
Okay, do I do any pluses? Nope, just kabooms.
There's usually not pluses for damage.
I just like to double check, because I had a +4 for something, and I know I use it for one of my spells.
Well, for hitting things, yes. For damage, usually no.
I did the wrong way. That's why.
There we go.
Seven
points of force damage.
Yes. And I aim away from Peter's legs, because I don't want scary orc mom to yell at me.
You see something small and dead fly out of the shambling mound off to the side.
Ooh. Is it my hands?
No, those are firmly attached to your arms.
I don't have hands, I have wings. Is it Carl Jr. and Hardee's?
From this distance, you can't tell. There's a shambling mound in the way.
Oh, poo.
Can I tell?
Do you want to?
Sure.
I would say that has to be a perception check.
8?
An 8's not going to do it. But a 16, if I'm actually not deliberately mishearing you when you say all right, you don't want to be that tiefling, but you can't really tell the difference between one animated hand and another.
But is it one of the animated hands?
But it's probably one of them. You haven't counted the fingers.
Is it animated?
It was airborne?
Okay. Hey, Matt.
You know what? I'll take it. I still am kicking butt.
I was okay. Muted.
Yes, you were.
Welcome back. Roll for initiative. Yes, seriously.
I rolled for him. He got a 19.
Oh.
Oh, okay. I'll take that.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll take a 19. I mean, I'm not going to.
And he held his action.
So, just so you know, you're fighting a shambling mound, and Peter's down.
And it ain't my hands!
That's bad.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's in the book of bad.
It ate Carl Jr. and Hardee's.
Well, then why didn't it get indigestion?
That's why I'm attacking it with Shatter and Eldritch Blast.
You hear a massive belch. The smell is not pleasant.
Ah, it smelled worse.
It smells like a Hardee's truck bathroom.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh,
my brother used to work at one on the turnpike. Yeah.
I've done enough road trips in my life.
These are stories that I do not wish to hear.
Really?
We can do Eldritch Horror.
It would just be me telling stories.
Or we can talk about something worse. I would rather do Eldritch Horror. Thank you very much. Okay.
Yay!
So, Paige's turn. She did Eldritch Blast and did some damage. It's now Peter's turn. That is a failed death save.
Oh, no.
Because I'm a gracious DM, and I'm allowing him to do death saves after taking over double his max hit points in a single strike.
It's because the monster got a nat 20.
Oops.
Yeah. If it hadn't got a nat 20, average damage would have still killed him. Well, rendered him unconscious. Onka.
Okay. So I'm understanding that Peter is dying, essentially. Is that what I understand that?
It's your experience that someone buried under a pile of dead plant matter with only their feet sticking out usually is not long for this world.
Okay, so I'm going to cast Death Ward on Peter. It gives him, it's a touch spell. And the first time the target drops to zero hit points as a result of taking damage, the target instead drops to one hit point and the spell ends. Is it too late for this, actually? Now that
he's already at zero.
Okay, I'm not going to do that one then. Let's see, what else can I do for him?
Pull him out?
Yeah, well, I'm going to pick him up and like...
He's currently underneath one of this thing's legs.
Okay. She's an orc.
I am an orc. I'm a half orc.
You're going to have to make a strength athletics check to pull
him out. Well, let's give it a try. Yeah, let's give it a try.
As luck would have it, I have stats for how to escape an engulf attack, and I would accept that.
I have rolled a 7. Strength is not going to get me that far. It's a +3. I can use my inspiration and try again.
Sure.
Yeah.
Save the child.
Save the boy.
This is the game where everyone's spending inspiration. This is uncommon. Yes. I'm okay with this.
I have rolled a 15 and strength is +3.
Okay. There is a popping sound and you are now holding a very still 11-year-old boy, or however old we said he was in canon.
We said 9. So okay. How long
he
for the traveling?
He keeps getting older and younger. It's really weird.
You know, he's a wise child, I guess, you know.
He was hanging around Katie too much.
Okay, so so if I've got him, I'm going to like run from this thing so I can hopefully maybe heal him or something.
Okay.
Without being near this monster. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use my movement to get away from the creature with Peter in my arms.
You get smacked by a slam attack because that gives it an attack of opportunity. You take 13 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
Oof.
Does this impede my progress at all?
I'm going to say, because this doesn't give information for how one slam attack can make it do special things, that it actually pushes you a bit further along.
Okay. I'll take that.
You might not have appreciated the acceleration. There's more gentle ways to do that.
Right.
But it is what it is.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing.
Fahim.
I'm going to attack. And I get a 22, an 8, a 27.
Someone figured out how to do flurry of blows as a single attack.
That's awesome.
And that 27 is a natural 20.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah, that's a nat 20.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
So that's 3 total hits.
And one is
one hit, one crit, it looks like, because you got a 10 and an 8. I don't think either of those are going to hit. The 22 should, and the 27 obviously does.
Yeah, the 10 and the 8 are definitely misses, but the two hits that are over 20.
A hit and a crit. Sure.
Yes. So roll the damage for 3 hits, but add the bonus for 2 hits.
15
points of damage, okay. So Fahim runs up and punches repeatedly, and something flies out the opposite side of the punches.
Hardy!
Or is it Carl? Can you tell the difference?
I have Carl with me.
Ah.
All right. Ulfgar, you're up.
Okay. What do we know about shambling mounds? I do a lot of elemental damage. I don't want to say burn it and it have no effect. Has anybody made an arcana roll on them?
Sanctimonious suggested that it looked like it had a lot of moist plant matter in it, so he was hesitant to just burn everything.
Okay, but
my thunder damage.
Oh, thunder?
My thunder damage did full damage.
Okay. What if we freeze that water? Will that hurt it? I mean, cold usually destroys plants.
Sanctimonious shrugs.
We can try.
You can check.
Why don't I roll Arcana to see if I get any idea on what may or may not be helpful against such creatures?
Okay.
I remember how to do this. Roll 1d20 plus 7. Okay, 25.
Tell me your secrets.
Yes, basically. What do I remember reading about shambling mounds? I am in particular looking for what may be resistant or vulnerable.
Well, you don't want to try setting them on fire. That doesn't work very well.
Okay.
They're also a little resistant to cold. So fire and cold can work, but not very well. Whatever you do, don't feed them after midnight. Or at all, really. Just don't feed them. And also, don't strike them with lightning. Lightning bad. Unless you like them, and in that case, lightning good.
Okay.
And just remember, my fists are technically magical.
An important safety tip, we do not cross the lightning streams.
that's true.
So, that leaves thunder, and one of my personal favorites, we're going to do the Melf's Acid Arrow. Which, we all know, never makes it to round two.
Right.
Well, that was in the last campaign. This is a new campaign with a new character. However,
let's find out.
Damage has been done here. It is bloodied.
So perfect. We may be able to see if that continues. All right. So I must roll an attack roll against it. I am typing that in. I can get this to work. All right. So I've rolled a 10.
Congratulations, you are a melting and very innocent-looking tree.
Okay.
Why? Why?
Not that's the one that I fell off. Not the one.
Hey, the tree started this fight.
Yeah. To be true, it was vegetation, and all those plants look alike to me. So.
Oh.
It moved. I saw it.
The leaves.
The leaves.
World,
they
what
moved.
What a world. For some reason, there was a large, pointy black hat on the top of the tree, but now it's just sitting in a pile of acid.
Gurgle, gurgle.
All some right, flying monkeys just fly away, laughing.
Paige gives a thumbs up.
I don't necessarily need to move at this point, so long as I've got a good, clear shot at this thing. So I will stand pat.
Okay. It is the mound's turn.
It's the mound.
Who does it run after?
Not I. So go back after the dead Peter.
Well, I am punching it.
You know, you have a point. You make a good point. You are the only one who ran up to it and then didn't decide standing next to this thing is bad.
Well, that would require a lot of thinking.
No, I'm sure Fahim thought this out. Fahim thought, if I move away from it, I can't punch it. This is logical. So it is going to try two attacks on Fahim.
My AC is 17.
Well, that's going to be a miss. And that's going to be a miss. You dodge the leaves.
Ha!
All right. And now it is Mazir's turn.
So it didn't willingly move?
It didn't need to. Fahim was right there.
All right.
It would have moved if Fahim had tried to disengage or something, but that wasn't going to happen.
Fahim welcomes the challenge, even if the challenge can't touch her.
I gotta trust to make just a second. I am going to have Raum help me with my attack by ducking down and grabbing bits off it or something.
Pecking it in the equivalent of its head.
Yes. And I'm going to attack with my crossbow.
Okay. A 24 is a glancing blow. It glances off of its heart, but it's still a glancing blow. Please continue.
So that's 19 damage.
Noted.
And I'm going to use my bonus action to hide.
Okay. Give me a stealth check. So you are hiding.
I hide very well.
You are hiding behind a sapling that is about 3 inches in diameter.
You have chosen a rather obvious bit of cover.
I am tragically not socks.
Yeah, socks would still pick that as a hiding spot and roll like a 35. And the complaint that he rolled low. But Sox is also approaching level 20, so this is a thing that can occur. Paige.
Yes.
What would you like to do?
Would it be possible for me to fly to the backside of this evil mound?
Quite possible.
I would like to do so and then use poison spray. And make sure that, I'm far enough away from it so I don't accidentally hit the...
Okay. So you're going to attempt to poison its butt.
You have to get a 15 constitution save.
Okay. It does not seem affected.
Dang it. I wanted to use that.
Well, technically, you did. You cast poison spray.
I wanted it to do something.
Well, give me a nature check.
Got okay, 10. Well,
difficulty here isn't too high. You see a significant portion of it is, in fact, made out of poison oak, poison ivy, and hemlock.
Well, poop.
Don't eat the shambling mound.
Dang it. Burb is now put out.
Okay. It is Peter's turn.
Oh, no.
That is another failed death save. That's 2.
Okay.
It is now Onka's turn.
Okay. Let's see what I can do for this kid. Let's see. It looks like Revivify is only has, in fact, died in the last minute, which he hasn't yet.
If I was not a gracious DM, I would say that, yes, he was dead, but he's technically unconscious.
Okay, he's technically unconscious, so that's not going to do it.
Technically, player characters are the only ones who should be allowed to make death saves.
Okay. Let's see what I can do for him. There's got to be something. There's got to be something.
Straight up heal spell.
Yeah, I'm looking for one that...
You can channel divinity, can't you?
I don't know.
Any heal spell, anything that would restore any hit points. If he goes to 1 hit point, he's conscious.
Okay. So I'm going to do... Let's see, what does that do? Healing word?
That would do it.
Yeah, it's technically a bonus action. And let's see, a creature of your choice, which will be Peter, regains hit points equal to 1d4 plus your spellcasting ability modifier, which apparently is a 3.
Okay.
So I need a 1d4. Okay. It's a 1 plus 3.
Okay, so he's got 4 hit points, which is a significant percentage of his total hit points.
Okay. He's alive.
Yeah, it's not 50%, but his hit points are 9. Close.
Okay, yeah, so that was a bonus action, I think,
yes.
Right? Bonus action. So for an action, can I use that, like a little bit of that Kyotam's ointment to give him the rest of his hit points?
You could, but right now he is away from combat and
that's true.
Safe.
He's safe, okay.
No longer making death saves.
So okay, you could go so then being, I will just...
You could protect, and now you can attack.
Yeah, so now I can attack? Okay, well... Let's see, how far away am I from this creature?
Well, you said you were going to book it away, so I assumed you went the full 30 feet.
Okay, so let's see.
Do you have a, what about, do we know if this thing is necessarily, is resistant to fire and cold? Do you do radiant damage, like Sacred Flame?
Yep, I can do Sacred Flame. I can do Word of Radiance, but that one's too close.
You have to be close.
Sacred Flame is 60 feet.
Yeah, I don't think you ran that far.
I don't think I ran 60 feet.
You ran 30.
So I'm going to do that. So that one is an action.
Is that the one where the fire comes down from above?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I am here for that cinematic result. I would love to see this.
Okay. Yeah. So it's,
he makes a saving throw. The creature makes a saving throw.
Creature makes a dexterity saving throw. And it has to be dex 14 or higher. And if it does not, it takes some damage.
Well, I rolled a 14 on the die, but its dex modifier is a negative.
Woohoo!
Okay, so it takes 1d8 radiant damage.
Actually, your level, it should be 2d8.
2d8?
Yeah.
Okay, 2d8. I can do that.
Once you pass 5th, I think it is, it goes up. Doesn't go up again until like, you pass 11th, but...
Oh, okay, so 2d8. Where's my other d8? There it is. Okay, 2d8. I've got an 8 and a 3.
11.
And if it is Circle of Flame, it should make both radiant and fire damage.
No, that's not flame.
It's
that's
sacred
flame.
Flame.
That's
flame
strike you're thinking of. That's the higher 5th level version.
And yeah, that's specifically radiant damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I play a cleric in another game. I know I have used flame strike many times.
All right. Okay, so that's Unka's turn. It's now Fahim's turn.
So Fahim's going to try to punch again.
What a surprise.
That is another crit and another hit.
Yeah. We're doing good.
I tell it to roll 4, but I don't know why it only rolls 3.
I can see 4.
It rolled
4.
It rolled 4.
Yeah, 20, a 4, a 7, and a 19. So
21 damage with my magic fists.
Those are good fists.
Okay. It is down to 3 legs. You have a feeling that if it concentrated, it could probably grow a leg back. But at this point, you are chopping down a shambling mound with your fist. How does that feel?
Like I'm Paul Bunyan.
Okay. So just a word of warning, you might want to wash your hands immediately afterwards, because remember what I said about the poison ivy and the poison oak?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, Paul, Peter is going to be itching forever.
Yeah, some of it might have gotten in his mouth.
Ugh.
I know.
And I've carried him over here, so I'm probably itching as well.
I'm impressed that Fahim has managed to get two crits on two consecutive rolls.
Yes, we can take a moment to marvel at this. This is pretty
intense. That is pretty good.
That is the wonder of getting to roll four attacks on each turn.
It does increase your percentage chance of getting a d20 to be a nat 20. With that said, Ulfgar, you are up.
Okay. We've got it on its third or three legs out of I don't know how many it started with.
It varies.
It varies depending on which way it's facing. I think we're just going to go with the old standby, since my concentration on aiming spell seems to be a wee bit off. We'll try a magic missile done with a third level spell slot. So we will have five missiles all attempt to pummel this pile of garbage.
Okay.
5d4 plus 5.
But it's noon, so there's no darkness to attack.
Well, that's okay. I'm not trying to attack the darkness. Unless you want to consider that the vegetable matter is somewhat dark in nature.
Well.
Also, we're under the full canopy of the forest.
No, his name is Chumbawamba.
So, congratulations. That's lethal damage. How do you want to do this?
Woohoo!
That's 17 points.
Yeah, we want to just... Okay, so I don't actually kill things a lot. We want to basically have the missiles rip this thing apart into tiny little bits, perhaps one or two large enough chunks for someone to investigate later.
Thank you.
So there's three legs that are still in small piles. Standing is a verb that you might not choose to use in this particular case, but the rest of it just sort of like gets blown away, quite literally. And as this happens, you see a lot of corpses that were inside of it, too, including roughly four human-like corpses. It's hard to count. They're in pieces at this point. But also a few animals and such.
Very well. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you take care of a shambling mound.
And Carl Jr. and Hardee's immediately run over to Paige.
My babies!
Carl Jr. is missing a pinky.
Oh.
Hardee's is missing a thumb.
No, I can tell them apart.
I mean, fair.
Zira sheathes her sword and the black goes out of her eyes.
I'm a little bummed because I had a plan for my next turn, and now I'm a little bummed, but I get down on the ground and I hug my hands.
They smell like death.
Yay!
And poison ivy.
And poison
ivy. I love that.
And I want to look around and see that Bryn's okay, because I did promise her mother I would bring her back safely.
And after I hug them, I start to investigate the dead body.
Yeah, I'm going to count the corpses.
Ulfgar's going to rifle through their pockets for loose change, since they seem to be all dead.
Oh, I'm not caring about those dead bodies. I'm talking about the monster we just dead body.
Okay.
That's so much more interesting.
Fahim was just like, I just fought a pile of vines. That's cool.
Watch other trees.
Why do my fingers itch?
Well, that doesn't happen right away unless it's psychosomatic. You got to wait a few hours, and then you're going to be like, oh.
Oh, no.
Oh. And it's not just your fingers. It's anything you've touched with those fingers. So if you had an itch on your nose and you scratched it.
So this is why you wear gloves. These big, thick, hardy gauntlets of ogre power gloves.
Yes, you always wear gloves when you're doing trimming and weeding. Always.
Are we actually going to have poison ivy issues, or are you just saying that?
I'm saying that canonically it was made out of, there's a lot of dead plant matter inside of it, but the outside of it did seem to have a lot of poison ivy and poison oak.
All right, so technically this Creotomes ointment, it does... It gives people back 2d8 plus 2 hit points, and they cease to be poisoned. So if I walk around and just sort of start handing that out, would that cease the poison on everyone?
Prestidigitation is also a thing.
Okay.
So. Yeah. Okay, cool. Will do that.
And Bryn can do that too, I think.
I just expect someone will do that for me when I'm Maybe done I'm wrong. Searching the body.
Yeah.
Fahim well, does you've also have got a wisdom feathers. Of 16, so she all... might recognize it and ask for help.
Yeah.
Are there at least 4 humanoid bodies in the ruins of the Shambling Mound?
Possibly more.
They may not be complete bodies.
Yeah. There's enough parts that you could make 4 incomplete bodies.
Okay.
I want to see if I can That's figure out for. Why, what caused this thing to come to life.
So I'm Ulfgar. Going to ask for an investigation or nature or arcana.
Ulfgar had that 25 earlier. Would he know more about them? Would that roll be sufficient here, or should we re-roll?
Well, before it was...
Vulnerabilities.
I'm doing a... I have plus 6 for both nature and arcana.
I'm going to require an additional roll because you are looking for additional information.
You managed to get 25, though.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
I
for
did.
20, no, 25 did. During combat. This is an additional roll
no,
for additional information.
I got
information.
A 25 just now.
Yeah. Yeah. Paige got a 25,
I just got 15, so Paige probably knows more than I do right now.
Yeah, so at this point, Ulfgar is pretty certain with the knowledge that he got from the 25 before. Not really anything new from the 20, from the 15.
But yeah, I have plus 6 in both Arcana and Nature, so I'm kind of going to town.
Paige.
And I've got a 21 on my investigation check.
Paige notices that even though this thing was definitely moving around and eating, everything that it was made of was rotting.
Does that mean Dispel Magic would have stopped it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I just
But it
had
definitely
to make sure.
Wasn't made out of living material.
Corrupted or I hate to say corrupted.
Necromancy
but,
with the plants.
Yeah. Decaying material might be a better word.
And not just its recent meals.
Is there anything of worth that I can steal from this body?
That's a loaded question because
for
Ulfgar, the answer is no. He wanted to rifle their pockets for loose change. They didn't really have much pockets to speak of at this point.
Well,
so Ulfgar,
but now we know it eats. Yeah, we don't know if it can eat metal or
okay, but
or
about
jewels.
Paige.
Yes, Ulfgar finds nothing that he considers to be of value.
Okay.
Paige finds. Bones of a wide variety of species.
Any that I don't recognize?
You know what? Give me a perception check.
Okay.
I will also say that Ulfgar missed the part where we ran across a small legion of hanged bandits in the woods, some of which were missing.
Body parts?
I only got a 6.
No,
so I
just
didn't find
the
any.
Entire bodies were missing.
Ah, okay.
Well, also the bandits were missing their hands.
Yeah.
So
well, that if they were thieves, that explains that.
And the bandits that we found hanging were the ones that my hands came from.
Well, gotcha. They're assuming that.
There were supposed to be 15. There were 11. That's why I was looking for 4 bodies.
And we have enough parts here to make at least most of 4 bodies.
Yeah.
Okay. So, ergo, we assume that this thing consumed them.
It's a fair cop.
That's a fair cop.
That is a reasonable assumption, but also probably wrong.
Well, that's how D&D usually goes.
Probably some raccoons and squirrels and chipmunks in there too, but
yeah, small prey.
I will say that even though you got a 6 on perception, I'm going to be a gracious DM and say that you do find a small bird skull.
I take it.
It's mostly complete. It's missing like one side of its face.
I want to say, I appreciate Paige. Because with Paige in the party, Mazir is no longer the creepy one.
And Mazir has her inspiration back.
As I was saying during the fight, I typed it in the chat. I was like, you know, I was looking at my character sheet and I tried to add in that I have an immunity to morality. And it wouldn't let me.
You've got to enable homebrew.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then you can make homebrew feats and stuff. But moving on.
Now, Paige is the creepy one. Mazir is the one who knows where the doom is going to be.
Paige is an upright anthropomorphic bird, correct? That's not creepy?
And now that we've murdered the plant monster and I've discovered everything I care to discover and I got my hands back, I start squawking about Sandstorm again.
Sandstone.
Okay. So as we pan back through the forest canopy and off into the distance, into the noonday sun, we just hear Sandstone.
Yes. I mean, give or take for how much Fahim knows about the poison ivy, poison oak that might be on her skin, she'd be up for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ulfgar will do whatever prestidigitation to clean that up.
Yeah.
So we're going to end it here for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for playing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Sandstone, by the way. And and murder. Sandstone and murder. Plugs. So Ellie has a social network, elk.xyz. It is on Mastodon, so all Mastodon accounts can follow stuff unless, you know, you're suspended, but whatever. Eric could not be here tonight, but he streams on twitch.tv/untamedsin. That's S-Y-N. Io could not be here tonight, but their mom writes books, elizabeth-mccoy.com. Jen is here, and she has a blog and podcast over at bookofjen.net. Millie is also here, and she streams fan fiction, hers and others. Listen at your own risk for the others, but never mind. Yeah, I have attempted to listen and cannot. it breaks my brain. But twitch.tv/magicalmillie. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Help us keep the lights on. And until next time, Sandstone.
Goodbye.
Sandstone.
Goodbye.
Good night.